The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Psalm 34:7. I want to talk this morning, kind of continuation of what I've been talking about last few Sundays, and today is bondage-breaking praise. Now, last week, we looked at Psalm 34. If you're interested, check that sermon out. I think it was called, last week or week before. We looked at, it starts out, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continue to be in my mouth. And he talks about all the benefits of praising God. Literally, if you follow the verses, he talks about fears, shame, and troubles in verse 4, 5, and 6. And then the angels of the Lord encamping around you in verse 7. In other words, what he says is when you praise God, when you lock in, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to have an attitude of praise and worship, not whining and complaining. Not only will God deliver me from fears, troubles, and shame, but the angel of the Lord will be loose. I'll enter and it'll be ratcheted up into the spiritual realm. That's really how you get delivered from fear, shame, and troubles. It's angels are loose because we're surrounded by demons. Demons want to pull us down. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we set our heart to praise him and have a right attitude, something is loosed around us, the angelic powers, and that's what demons are scared of. Demons are intimidated by angels, not you and I. So what I wanted to talk about this morning was practically how that worked. How do the angels loosed? How are angels loosed in our life? Does that really happen? Let's look at an example. You ready? Acts 16:23. One day, Paul and Silas were walking around in a town testifying to God, and they cast a demon out. They cast out a demon of this young lady, and this particular demon that they cast out was a soothsayer, a divination demon. This young lady had a demon, and people would come to her, and she could tell their fortunes. You know, there's a lot of palm readers and this kind of stuff. How many of y'all know a lot of those are fakes? But did you know there is a lot of them that ain't fakes? There are spirits of power of darkness. Demonic spirits. Satan does not have a limited amount of knowledge beyond in the spiritual realm. And this young lady had a spiritual supernatural ability because of this python. The little Greek is she had a python demon inside of her, a snake inside of her. In fact, in Acts 16, verse 16, a spirit of divination, the margin reads, of python, a snake demon inside of her. Now, you know, I know this is true. I've been in deliverance ministry now for almost 22 years, almost 23. And I have ministered to people that have snakes inside of them. Hello? Now, not literal snakes. Praise God. But spirits of snakes. A snake spirit. In fact, there was this young lady years ago. Her daddy was a psychiatrist. She was brought up in a home. She came to know the Lord, but her daddy was really in a psychiatry, which I think is very demonic. It's a soulless way of solving problems. And psychiatry has evolved itself more and more and more into an antichrist philosophy. Every church that adopts psychology or psychology invariably waters down the hardcore gospel. It's just the truth. It's sad that most cemeteries, when somebody goes, they study psychology. Humanism. Paul says to guard your heart from the humanistic fillets, from science falsely so called. From, the vain deceit, traditions of men, rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Well, this young lady, when we were praying for her, she had a real deal about her personality. She was really strange. You walk around her, there was always this thing on her. It's just a repulsive thing about her personality. I didn't know what it was. Everybody knows people like that. But she had a hard time getting dates with guys. She was quite an attractive young lady, but she was something. Well, we were praying for her. And do you know, this is the God-awful truth. As we were praying, we began to take authority of that demon. All of a sudden, her face contorted and she went, ha, hiss, and her tongue went out like that. And it went, I'm serious. And she goes, and I remember I looked at the girl that was with me, and we looked at each other, and this thing was on her face. This lady loved Jesus. She was saved, but she had a demon in her. Now, that might mess with your theology. Well, we told it to come out. It wouldn't come out. So then we talked to the lady, listen, and the lady surfaced. Now we've learned now, I've been in deliverance a long time, we learned we have people deal with sin and door open doors to the devil before we pray for them. We didn't do that then. We have people renounce the occult, renounce all that in the beginning. We didn't do that then. So I asked her, have you ever done anything with the devil? No. So we talked a while. We'll come to find out. She was about 23, 24. When she was 14, she had had her palm read at a church fair. A church fair. It was a denominational church. And she was all fascinated by her palm being read and used, wrote down what the palms, palm reader said. Do you know, a snake came into her when she had that happen. Settled inside of her spirit, and she became this weird person. So when we commanded the demon out, the snake came up, and it was mad. Well, after I had her ask the Lord to forgive her for that reading of that palm back, here she was about, I guess it's been like 8 years before. And she did. She asked the Lord to forgive her. And do you know, we then told that thing to come out, and it left. It came up again. Come out of there. Come out, snake. Come out. She screamed and was gone. And you know, later on that young lady started dating, ended up having kids. She got married, had kids. Her life is all the better. Praise God. That was one of my earliest deliverance encounters with a snake inside of somebody. Then you go, well, I don't know where that fits with my theology. I don't care about your theology. It's right here in Acts 16:16. There's a snake inside of a person. And Paul cast the demon out. Well, the guys that hired her and used her to make money were really mad. You know, when you cast demons out, you make people mad. Do you know, if I have a gift of teaching, I know I do. I have an anointing to teach the Word of God. Have it for 30 years. If I would just leave the casting demons part out of my ministry, I would have a big ministry. I've been told this. I've been told this by devils. If you just tone down on the demon part, God would use the anointing in the ministry in your life. I've been told that. You know what I say back? Get thee behind me in Jesus' name. I like casting out demons. And I will never have a big church. In fact, the other day, the place was really crowded one Sunday. The chairs were almost to the end of the room. Bo came to me later and says, Chris, starting to get a little fat. You need to do some of those mass deliverances to trim it back down again. Folks, I will always preach deliverance in Jesus' name. Can that happen? And I had demons mad at me to that day and day. And I'll never be a success in this world. I mean, seriously, I've been a pastor almost 19 years. I am an utter failure in the eyes of the name it, claim it, bigger is better crowd. I am. Failure. But you know what? Not to the Lord. Not to the Lord. I know His presence. He shines on me. He smiles on me. How many are willing to stand up for what's true? Are you willing to tell your friend at work? Do you have any friends at work that have demons? Come on. Do you know anybody in your family that has a demon? Put your hand down. That's your mama over there. Are you willing, in humility now, to say, can I pray for you to minister to you to cast that demon out? Well, you do that, boy, you draw the line in the sand. You're going to be a focus of the enemy's wrath. Most people, but you know what? Jesus needs those that will set the captives free. So anyway, they got this grand reception for casting the demon out. Verse 22, the multitude rose up. They rent off their clothes. They beat them. And when they beat them with many stripes, I mean, we're talking, you know, remember saw the movie The Passion? I mean, we're talking cat of nine tails, beating, ripping their flesh up. They threw him into prison, and they charged the jailer to keep them safely, and who, receiving such a charge, put him in the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now, this is, in other words, they had their feet up against, you know, with stocks locked to the wall. Now, folks, this is not a 21st century prison. There wasn't any ping pong balls, high-speed internet, you know, and access to the law book so you can keep filing cases to try to get out. Mm-mm. No, there was no light, there was stench, there was rats, there was human waste, there was filth, leprosy on the walls, and God knows what else. And there they are bleeding with ripping flesh in this horrible nightmare cell within a cell. Stench, horror. There may be a corpse dead next to them. Filth. Nightmare. For all they knew, they never come out. No hope of ever seeing daylight again. Ever. Now here he is. Paul and Silas. Paul, who long time before had made the commitment, I will bless the Lord at all times. Paul, a long time before, had a love relationship with the Lord. You know what he did hanging there in that nightmare condition? He turned to Silas. He said, Silas, what was that hymn we were singing the other day at that prayer meeting out by the lake? Silas says, funny you say that. I was just going over that in my mind. Well, why don't we praise the Lord?
So in that nightmare condition, they begin to sing a praising song.
You know what? I bet that dungeon hadn't heard a song in 100 years. And they began to sing in the spirit. Now, did they feel like singing? Were they warm fuzzies? Were they sitting in a nice, comfortable pew on a Sunday with a short service so they could go and eat and take a nap?
No, they sang anyway.
Now, what is the message in Psalm 37? The angels of the Lord are loosed. The angels are what delivers from the shame and the fear and the troubles. The angels of God are loose. But what looses the angels? A commitment to praise God. A commitment to worship God in the midst of all things. Like I said, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale and praised him, that's when God said to the fish, spit him out.
A commitment to praise Jesus and give him thanks.
And what happened at 25? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Now you would say, I don't understand why they prayed. I'd have prayed too. Let me out! But no, they sang praises. See, they praised, they settled it in their hearts, we will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. Verse 26, look what happens. And suddenly, there was a great, what?
Earthquake.
So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, look at this, this is an amazing earthquake. All the doors opened up. Of all the cells. This earthquake was a surgical strike earthquake. It just shook the locks so that they would loosen and all the doors sprang open. And then everyone's bands were loose. The earthquake happened to rattle off all of the bands off of all the hands and feet and all the cells. So this earthquake didn't collapse the prison. No. It just busted open all the doors and all the bands were loose. Is that what it says, folks? This is a phenomenal supernatural thing. Well, let's go over it a minute. It says, suddenly there was a great earthquake. You know what that word in the Greek is? Megaseismos. You know the principle is spiritual warfare activates something in the spiritual world that has effect on the natural world. When you praise and worship, when you sing and praise God, something in the spirit is activated that enters into the natural realm. I believe praise and worship is the key to disease and sickness and demons and even death itself. We have power to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to try to heal the sick. It starts with an attitude of praise. When we pray for the deliverance for folks, when we sit down and minister to them, we often will start and just sing and worship the Lord, get still and enter into His presence. Into His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, the angels will take a tongue and pull a lump of fire, coal, and down and do something with it. We got to get in the presence of God. The second thing, it says the foundations were shaken. Is that what it says? The foundations. You know, God wants to loose us all the way to the foundation of the roots of our life. I believe a commitment to praise will loosen the foundation, the very root things in your life, the very driven subtle motivational root bondages and strongholds and wounds will be shaken and loosed as you praise Jesus. We don't need psychology. You don't need a couch to delve back into the past and deal with all the inner hurts. No. You just need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost can bring those things up. Now when He brings them up, He'll cast them out. Now you can go down there and stir around, you can dig them up and reminisce, ruminate and go over them all. They ain't leaving until the Holy Ghost is ready to deliver you. Can you hear me, man? Lord gave me years ago an analogy of the way the Holy Ghost delivers us from deep roots. And what He showed me in the Spirit was a fence post. And think about a fence post that's deep down in the ground. How do you get a fence post out? Anybody? Do you just go and go, ooh? What do you have to do to a fence post to get it out? You have to bang it, right? Back and forth. What are you doing? You're moving the top, but what are you doing to the bottom? So finally, and the Spirit showed me the top of the fence post is what you have in your life right now. What He's called you to do today. The bottom of the fence post is all the wounds and hurts and all the junk, all the motivation in your life. He's not called us to dig a tunnel down to the bottom of the fence post and push it up, has he? You just do what you got to do today. You just walk in the Spirit. You be obedient to the Lord. You praise the Lord. You walk in the Spirit. Guess what you're doing? You're loosening what's beneath. Psychology is, oh, well, let's just dig a tunnel down to the bottom of the fence post and let's kind of determine how we can push it up. The next thing, immediately all the doors were opened. That's amazing to me. You know, it may be that there are doors you're waiting for to be opened in your life. You know, there have been open doors, opportunities, things you've been waiting for God to do. Cry out to the Lord, just open this door. Scripture says, if he opens the door, no man can shut it. If he shuts it, no man can open it. He said, I am the door. You can push on all day long. If he ain't ready to move, he ain't going nowhere. But you know what? A lot of times those doors stay shut because of our grumbling, complaining attitudes. See? These guys, they could have sat there, we'll never get out of here. We just got the demon out. You do get in trouble when you cast demons out. You know, I was a nice guy, had lots of nice friends, nice popular person. I started casting demons out. Now I'm a nice guy, and I still have nice friends, the few that I have. And in everything, give thanks. Watch the opportunities begin to open. I'm telling you, if you just get it set in your heart, I'm going to praise Jesus. I'm going to thank the Lord. I'm not going to bow to self-pity and poor me. I'm just going to give praise to him no matter what. You watch God begin to open doors that you've been rattling and pushing and shoving and banging on. God will open them. That's what the angels are for. This is a phenomenal earthquake, guys. This is a surgical strike earthquake. And then finally, what's the last one? Everyone's bands were what? Loosed. Now that's amazing. Did you know, wherever you are, if you're listening to me on the CD or the internet or you're in here today and you're in school or you're a housewife or you work at an office or you work, wherever you go every day, did you know that you're surrounded by people that are bound and chained and demonized? You're surrounded by people that are deluded and confused and walking in illusions and deceptions. Can any man that are lost? Or that are saved and demonized and confused and bought into heresies. We're surrounded by those people every day. So was Paul and Silas. They were surrounded by people in bondage, trapped in prisons, chained to the wall, surrounded by them. They didn't even know it. But God saw the people around Paul and Silas. And God knew that if Paul and Silas would do the right thing, the light and the power and the grace in their life doing the right thing would lose something to set everybody else free. See, out of your belly, Jesus said, would flow. See, God doesn't send angels anymore. That dispensation is over. We are the body of Christ. You understand? Before Jesus came, yeah, angels would show up, okay? All through the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, guess what? He said, go ye into all the world. I'm birthing a kingdom. This kingdom is different. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, who was the greatest. This is a brand new thing I'm doing, a New Testament. And you're the body of Christ. And if you don't go, ain't nobody gonna go. If you don't do it, ain't nobody gonna get done if he wants you to do it. It's a scary thought. I remember witnessing to someone once, and they died not long after. And I remember thinking, suppose I hadn't witnessed to them. They see they came to Christ. And the thought was, suppose I decided that day to not witness to them. Would they be in hell? Yes. Isn't that heavy? I mean, that's pretty significant stuff. We think, well, God would have sent somebody else. Maybe not. Maybe so. The point is, he's called each of us to be the vehicle of deliverance for people around us. I don't care where you are, who you are to be a light of the world. A city set on a hill that gives light, a candle, not under a bushel basket, but gives light to all those in the house. Jesus has called you to be the light of the world. In this perverse, Philippians 2 says, in this adulterous and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights. And folks, this generation is becoming increasingly perverse. And Antichrist. Antichrist is just prolific. Prevalent everywhere in the culture. The New Age. I remember back in the 80s, when the New Age movement first started coming out, we were marveling and amazed. Now it's hard to find anything that isn't New Age and perverted. As in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall the days of the Son of Man be. As in the days of Lot, So shall the days of the Son of Man be? It's going to be as bad. You know, it was so bad in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. An angel came to Lot's house and all the homosexuals banged on the door to rape the angel. You say, whoa. Guess what? Our culture is moving there. That has become such an accepted norm. Recently, a pastor was arrested and he's in trial right now because he read a passage of scripture condemning homosexuality. He's in trial. It's in Canada. Not quite here yet. I just read that last week. Oh, I tell you, the day's coming. It will be the homosexual powers, the homosexual lobby that will try to destroy fundamental Christians. The fundamental Christians are the only thing left holding back the barrage of the evil on this world. It's the salt of the earth. Salt is meant to preserve. Did you know that? Salt is a preservative. We're it. We're the salt of the world. And he said, now that the salt has lost its savor, what's it good for? To be cast under the sidewalk. And we need to be salt of the earth, a sidewalk salt to be trod upon of man. Christ said, what kind of salt are you? Have you lost your flavor? As I've said many times, the only avenue you hear this is from the preaching of the word of God or the anointing. That's it. Every other vista, every other media, every other thing inundating you all week long is antichrist into the world. But sitting under the word opens up your mind again. Oh, that's right. That's right. Jesus is coming again. This world is going to hell and I'm supposed to be a light. That's right. Got my priorities right. Amen. That's it. There's nothing else. Jesus is coming again. He's coming in. And he's going to be mad this time. Ain't not coming on no donkey. Did that. He got him serious horse, dude. And his name, fire in his eyes, two-edged sword. And is he mad? Says that men will run to the rocks and say, rocks, please fall on us and crush us. Please, rocks, come, rock. You know how we ask for the Holy Ghost to come? Come, rock, crush. Hide me from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. Whoa! And heaven and earth fled from his face. A mad lamb. But he ain't back yet, praise God. I can hear the rumblings. I can see the Son of God is going through the closet looking for his wedding garment. Can y'all sense it? I can sense the kind of the rumblings in the far off. It's coming, I'm telling you. Look at the cataclysm weather pattern. These things didn't happen when I was a kid. The rapidity, the ever-increasing growth of traumatic. It was just another earthquake yesterday. Significant one. Just yesterday in China. Jesus said there would be many earthquakes. I mean, this past year, just in this past year, starting with the tsunami, which was one of the greatest destroyed events in a generation. And then we back Israel, pulling out of Gaza. That created a lot of Jewish refugees. And I think the Lord said, oh yeah, I'll send Katrina. Bam! Now we got a lot of Louisiana refugees. You know, what you do, an eye for an eye, whenever we back land, I really believe that, when our government backs taking away land from Israel, we come under a judgment. And I got a book that documents it. I mean, within a week of us backing them, pulling out, I remember seeing on the internet all these refugees coming out of Gaza. Within 2 weeks, we had our refugees. And it happens over and over and over. What scares me, it just happened this week, 2 days ago. Gaza has opened up a Palestinian bridge into Egypt. And it's become a terrorist stronghold. And I remember thinking, uh-oh, what next cataclysm is going to hit the States? Folks, this is real. God's jealous for his land. This is all end time stuff. But the bottom line here is all he's called you and I to do. You know, whether all that stuff comes to pass sooner or later, all he's called you to do is be faithful. Amen? Bless the Lord at all times. Just give thanks. You know, when stuff hits the fan, all right, praise God. He's a redeemer. He'll redeem it. In fact, he'll turn around to good. I'll actually be further up the board because he turns all things together for the. So, folks, God wants to use you to set the captives free all around you, to open those prison doors, praise God, to loose the bands. And I stand as a testimony. I stand in my life as a testimony. I decided years ago, I'm going to do right by this. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to get up every day and make him first. Oh, hell hits me. I'm going to keep doing it. Okay, tomorrow I'll have another quiet time. I'll keep seeking him every day. And you know what? I'm going to stand before Jesus one day and say, Jesus, my life made a difference. There was a lot of demonized people are free. A lot of doors were open. A lot of bondage were loosed for the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. I'm really after the goal. The crown. You know, I have a hidden agenda here. I was sitting with a client the other day because I sell financial retirement plans and investing and all this. And we have a really good deal with our company because what we offer is complimentary. It's free. It's an analysis of all the finances. And the guy was sitting there saying, where's the catch? Come on. Do I have to pay a fee for this thing every year? All right. And I looked at him. I said, can I be honest with you? And this guy was skeptical. And I thought, yeah. And I said, can we horse trade? You know what horse trading means? I'm going to be real. You be real. I said, I have an incentive. I have an agenda here. Sitting in your house, offering you a complimentary analysis of your finances and to set you, you know, right for retirement. I have an agenda. I do have an agenda. Can I tell you what it is? He said, yeah. Because he was in his brain saying, hey, life ain't like that. Things ain't free. There's a reason you drove all these miles to my house. Can you imagine? And I told him there is. I said, what I'm after is rollovers. I said, what I do is help people roll over their retirement funds. So you make good commissions with that. I said, frankly, all of this is free. But what I need from you is referrals. I need referrals. I just need people you know that could use it because they may know an uncle over here that has a nest egg that needs to be rolled over. That's my agenda. And I said, I do have an agenda. It's to find rollovers of financial retirement plans. And the guy went, oh, well, that's cool. No problem. You can have all the referrals you want. And what was cool was I was very honest with him. I said, look, the way life is, I do have an agenda here. This is what I have to feed my family. You feed your family. What I'm here for is to help you. But I have an ultimate agenda is I'm looking for rollovers to help people. And when he saw that, when he saw exactly what's coming from, it's like all the walls went down. All the walls, he was totally open. It's true. And, you know, I was thinking, that's what God just wants to be honest. I have an agenda in the kingdom. Do you? You know what my agenda is? I'm going for a crown. Do you have an agenda? I'm going for a crown. And not a Burger King one. You know? I want a couple of stones in that sucker. At least, what's that fake diamond? Zubik Konomian, whatever. CZ's, hey! Is that just glass? Okay, well that'll beat Burger King any day, right? I mean, it sparkles. Looks good. How many of y'all going for the gold? Come on. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, many that run a race on this earth will discipline their body for a corruptible crown. He says, but we pursue an incorruptible crown. He said, I therefore discipline my body and keep it in shape, lest that by any means I should be a castaway. He says, I treat my body like a slave. He said, because I don't want to lose that crown. Forgetting that behind and pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And folks, if you don't have an agenda, it's like I was saying in the beginning about a goal, the demons will just knock you off the track. You'll sell and have a 50-cent life. You know, you get to heaven, come on in, boy. Come on. I love you. Come on. I'm so glad to have you. Give a big hug. Yes, made it. Now, when it comes to doling out the administrative positions for eternity and the eternal reign of the King's glory, you may not quite have the position you could have. Can you imagine? You know, today is November 27th, 2005. Some of us may live many, many years from now. Some of us may die today. I don't know. But again, I'm admonishing you to max it for Jesus. Let's all stand. Jesus, we want to make a commitment today to bless you, to honor you, to give thanks unto you in all things.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.